Well, good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Today is the third Sunday after Epiphany. Would you please stand as you are able as we sing our first hymn today, which is, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. Let us pray. Loving God, the light of the minds that know you, the life of the souls that love you, and the strength of the hearts that serve you, help us so to know you that we may truly love you, and so to love you that we may faithfully serve you, whose service is perfect freedom through Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word, so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So have our first reading.
A reading from the first letter to the Corinthians. Now I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you should be in agreement, and that there should be no divisions among you, but that you should be united in the same mind and the same purpose. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there are quarrels amongst you, my brothers and sisters. What I mean is that each of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ might not be emptied of its power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please will you stand as we sing our next hymn, Let There Be Love Shared Among Us. Gospel of Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boats with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all the sick, those who were afflicted with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. When I looked at the reading set for today during the week, the thing that struck me was the contrast between the two readings we've chosen for the 9 o'clock service, the hopeful message of a gospel passage, and then reports of bickering in the Corinthian church. What's happened? The gospel passage, we're reminded of the core Epiphany theme, light coming into darkness. We have another call for about, I think, several weeks in a row. We've had calls. Here we have a call of the first disciples, the fishermen by the lake, and their immediate response. And we have the start of Jesus' ministry, his teaching, preaching, and healing. There's certainly messages of hope and encouragement, of God breaking into the world as it is, leading to a devoted response for the disciples, and then practical outcomes, practical positive action. But then one wonders why the compilers of the Revised Common Lectionary have also given us the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, "It has been reported to me that there are quarrels." What? Among the people of God, followers of Christ? Quarrels? Surely not. And Paul goes on to say, well, there were divisions of the Corinthian church. It's been reported to him that each of you says, "I belong to Paul," or "I belong to Apollos," or "I belong to Cephas," or "I belong to Christ." Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Well, Paul was the founder of the Corinthian church. He was important to people. Apollos was a subsequent leader who is reputed to be a very eloquent speaker. And Cephas is Paul's name for Peter the Rock, who is one of the most prominent men in the wider Christian community. There seems to be people saying, "Well, my leader is better than yours. My pedigree is better than your pedigree. My way of doing things is better than your way of doing things." It even seems that, as Chloe reports, those who say, "I belong to Christ," seem to be saying it with a sense of smugness or superiority. And later in the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul similarly calls out the Corinthians about their disagreements over relative merits of their spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, "My spiritual gift is better than your spiritual gift," seems to be the narrative coming from the Corinthians. And Paul's response is that he's not really concerned about differences in speech or behavior. About the spiritual gifts, he affirms the value of the diversity of the gifts and ministries. All are valuable, he says, but they need to be different. If everyone was a mouth, everybody was a foot, what would happen, he says. And here in chapter 1, Paul is saying that whoever taught them, whoever these writings they particularly follow, that doesn't matter. Rather, Paul wants them to be united in the same mind and the same purpose. And what he means by that is not that they're all the same, but they all should remember what was the core of their faith. What is the core tenets that should underpin all that they did? And the central message, the gospel that Paul proclaimed, was a message about the cross of Christ. And we can see this today in the Christian church, if we look in the light of this message to the Corinthians that Paul describes. The issue is not the apparent splintering of the church into different denominations. There are many reasons for that, different cultures, different places, different histories. I actually asked Google how many different Christian denominations there are today. So people who weren't here at 7 o'clock, how many different Christian denominations do you think there are? 45,000. Well, I think they probably count Brisbane Anglicans and Sydney Anglicans as two different denominations by now, anyway. But it is rather not for those for different denominations per se, but it's the internal quarrels, the infighting, the competition between the body of within the body of the church. Concerns about the survival of a particular way of doing things that divert the church from following the ministry of Jesus. And this is what Paul is calling out. What this boils down to is that there are some beliefs that are an essential part of being a Christian. And Paul describes this as a message of the cross, but in the broader sense that this is salvation, that God's desire that all should be saved. And Paul says this should be the basis of everything. If you're not doing that and not concentrating on that, then what are you doing? Because there are other things that we believe as Christians. There are some core beliefs that build on that fundamental thing, our understanding of God as Trinity, of the nature of God as Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, of the resurrection, the inspiration of the Bible, the importance of evangelism. And yes, there are a lot of theological debates about the nuances of some of those. For instance, does the Holy Spirit proceed from the Father and the Son, or just from the Father? That does a big schism in the 11th century that came up with that. But then there are lots of non-essential beliefs, things that don't affect our salvation. They're sometimes known by the Greek term adiphoria, which actually means things that are indifferent. There's these things that quite often cause a lot of separation between and within denominations. People pluck verses out of the Bible and spend ages defending speaking in tongues or infant baptism, purgatory, predestination, end times, creationism, gay marriage, abortion, women preachers. Another thing is even more trivial than that, that seems to spend an awful lot of time debating and arguing about. Not to say that we shouldn't have an opinion on these issues and on many other religious beliefs, but we need to recognise they are not essential to salvation. And therefore, an emphasis on the adiphoria will be damaging to our testimony to the world. So Paul is reminding the Corinthians to concentrate on the core of the faith. And sometimes even that can seem as very complex. Theologians have been debating for centuries quite what salvation means and how it works. But Paul gives us encouragement. He writes in verse 18 that we read, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." What matters is responding to God and then living and growing in this knowledge. Which brings us back to the gospel passage and its message of hope. What were the fishermen called by the lakeshore responding to? But Jesus' message was a message of salvation. And if salvation is a hard word for us to get our heads around, it was too for the people of Jesus' time and of Matthew's time. And so the metaphor that is so often used in scriptures is the bringing of light into darkness. So the author of Matthew's gospel quotes from the prophet Isaiah, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined." The context of that passage being written was in Isaiah's time, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, two of the ancient tribes of Israel, were under Assyrian rule, suffering great oppression. They were dark times. And in the midst of this, Isaiah gives a message of hope. He says that one day God's light will break through the gloom and the anguish, scattering it. It is something that the prophet was assured would come. And as such, one could say that it had already happened. That was his belief. Just as we know at night that the sun is there and will rise in the morning. People of Zebulun and Naphtali may have looked around and said, "Well, the world still looks pretty dark to us. We see no light." But Isaiah says, "It is there. It will come." Light from dark, hope from hopelessness, purpose from chaos, salvation. And this is what the first disciples were responded to, Jesus' proclamation that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Core of a disciple's faith, of Paul's faith, and of ours. We're not in Zebulun and Naphtali, Capernaum, or Corinth, but we are still in a dark place. There is still much hopelessness in our world. Darkness is indeed an apt metaphor. I can't help but think of a memorable line at the end of a Pink Floyd album, "Dark Side of the Moon." There's no dark side of the moon, really. As a matter of fact, it's all dark. when we went to see that presented in the planetarium, I was waiting for that line all the way through. anyway, but it sums up how a lot of people feel. There's so much anguish and despair that it feels there is no possible way out. But Paul's insistence is that we need to focus on the core message of the gospel, to believe in the assurance of salvation, in the promise of the coming of the light, as did the disciples, and then go on to actively participate in this, in the midst still of the darkness. This is the message that we are called to proclaim. And in Paul's words, this is the power of God. Please stand and join with me as we affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, he descended into the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body,
Amen. Let us pray for the world and for the church.
The response to the prayers this morning is, Lord, as we face the challenges of life, in your mercy, and you'll respond with, hear our prayer. God of compassion, our world faces many challenges, from war and famine to natural disasters. May we put aside our differences and help and support each other through those times. Together, we pray for those who are continuing to be affected by recent ongoing storms in both North Queensland and in Victoria, and we pray for the emergency services involved in that recovery. Lord, as we face the challenges of life, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of faithfulness, your word shows us the way to follow Jesus. May we recognize and live the diverse gifts of your ministry as we represent your church in our world. We particularly pray for Iglesia Anglicana de Chile, the Diocese of the Northern Territory, the Parish of Kilcoy, Anglicare Southern Queensland Meline Residential Aged Care in Bundaberg, and all Anglican schools, business managers, bursars, and senior leaders. We pray for our missionary partners, the Church Missionary Society, and missionaries sent from the Queensland Northern New South Wales branch. Lord, as we face the challenges of life, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of community, it is through connecting with people around us and caring for each other that we see our way to Jesus. May we respond to your call and be a light within our community to foster positivity and optimism. We pray for Marshall Road Primary, Salisbury Primary and Yeronga Primary Schools. We pray for the educators and students as the new year starts this week. And we pray for our new Children's Church team as they prepare to relaunch next Sunday. And we give thanks for the leadership of those within our parish who have before and those who continue to lead this important ministry. Lord, as we face the challenges of life, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of healing, many people face mental or physical distress, and much pain can come with that. Strengthen and heal those in distress, lift up their spirits, and bring comfort to them and their carers and loved ones during dark times. Within our parish, we pray for Ryan, Jocelyn, Peter, David, Jan, Robin and Maxine, Rita, Sharon, Margaret, Don and Deb, Georgina, Glenda, Sue, Liz and Angie, Reverend Chain, Natalie, Lynette, Sue, Rose, Al, Jennifer, Sandy, Mary, and Lee. Lord, as we face the challenges of life, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of eternal life, as the psalmist declared, one thing I ask to live in the house of God all the days of my life. We remember those who have gone before and give thanks for their life and for being a light in the world. From our parish book of remembrance, we pray for the lives and the families of Joyce Ruby Drayden, Katie Eileen Wilson, Elaine Claire Anthon, Albert Clarence Patterson, Lillian May Stabler, John Bickford Byrne, and James Fred O'Hara Bowler. Lord, as we face the challenges of life, in your mercy,
accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Christ, the Son of God, has been revealed as a light to the nations. Let us bring our darkness to his light, confessing our sins in penitence and faith. Merciful God, our Maker and our Church, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have failed to do. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We repent and are sorry for all of our sins. Father, forgive us, strengthen us to love and obey the ways of life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God has promised forgiveness to all who turn to him in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand? We are the body of Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you. 9 people on Zoom. Well, peace be with you. What? 9. Well, as we remain standing, we sing our next hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Forever near me, I must surrender.
Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation. For your goodness we have these gifts to share. Accept and use our offerings for your glory and for the service of your kingdom. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Loving God, we thank you for this world of wonder and delight. You've given it to us to care for so all your creatures may enjoy its bounty. Lord our God,
we give you thanks and praise.
We thank you that when we turned away from you, you sent Jesus to live and work as one of us and bring us back to you. He showed us how to love you and set us free to love and serve one another. Lord our God,
we give you thanks and praise.
We thank you that on the cross Jesus took away our sin, all that keeps us from each other and from you. He frees us from hate and fear, from all that destroys love and trust. Lord, our God,
we give you thanks and praise.
And so with everyone who believes in you, with all the saints and angels, we rejoice and praise you, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. And now we thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. May we who receive them, as Jesus said, share his body and his blood. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to his friends and said, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He shared the cup with them and said, This is my blood poured out that sins may be forgiven. Do this in remembrance of me. You have gathered us together to feed on Christ and to remember all he has done for us. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Fill us with your spirit that we may follow Jesus in all we do and say, working for justice and bringing your peace to this world that you have made. Accept our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Blessing and honour and glory and power are yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. We who are many are one body. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, let us take this holy sacrament for body and blood of Christ in remembrance that he died for us and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let's pray. God of mercy, may we who have shared in this holy meal know your forgiveness in our lives, bring your reconciliation to others, and be a sign of your wholeness in this broken world. Most loving God, send us into the world you love. Give us grace and free and courage in the power of your Spirit. Okay, well, let us stand as we sing our missional hymn, For I'm Building a People of Power. Christ, the Son of God, be manifest to you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.